You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and Sue Balcom because it's Main Street Eats time.
And Sue joins us for Main Street Eats from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, to talk about food. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you've got rhubarb on your mind.
Yeah, somehow the earliest plants get the most attention this time of year, don't they?
Well, that makes sense.
Like you're walking around in your yard and you're like, okay, there's got to be something growing this week. Come on. And lo and behold, the rhubarb is doing really quite well this year. And so I thought we could talk about some things about rhubarb because every year I garden, you know, there are people in the world who garden and they're people who take my gardening classes and they come out and they ask all these questions. I'm like, there's nothing written in stone. You know, you can't force something that Mother Nature has more control over than you do. So anytime I see something growing, it's like, yippee for me. And we have been working on getting our rhubarb pumped up a little bit. There were a couple things we were doing that probably weren't conducive to its growing as fast or as early in the year as we would have liked it. So I thought we would talk a little bit about rhubarb because who doesn't love rhubarb pie?
Well, I'm a little lukewarm to it myself, but I grew up with rhubarb and I can remember eating the stuff raw, actually, which I kind of like because it has a real tang to it.
Yeah. Totally. Didn't you dip it in sugar? Like, did you sneak a cup of sugar from your mom?
I never did that. I like that bitterness, I guess, or that tang. But I remember it growing up around the foundation of the house. No, some people, obviously, you would have it in the garden, but I don't see it so much anymore.
No, and that's kind of sad, too, because I think if you were to go out and visit every abandoned farmstead in the state of North Dakota, you would find the rhubarb patches alive and well next to the garage, against the foundation, like you said. Nobody really, I don't think anybody was deliberate about where they planted rhubarb. It was sort of like something that grew up out of the ground like the rocks in the fields that they had to pick, you know. Oh, look, the rhubarb is up. Yay! So if you're going to make pie, I have a couple of things about rhubarb. First of all, it is not a fruit. It's actually a vegetable. And I think at one time I learned that it probably came over to North Dakota from the Germans from Russia, and it got to Russia from Asia somehow because that's kind of its roots in Asia. But, you know, I've met people that never experienced rhubarb before. And down south, they call it trucker's pie because they're the only ones that have been up north to sample it. And so
that's funny.
It's weird. I actually met people that had never had rhubarb pie before. I'm like, oh, don't know what you're missing. And if you're going to bake pie, a pound of fresh rhubarb will give you about 3 cups of chopped rhubarb. And you need probably 4 for a pie. So you're going to have to buy more than 1 pound of fresh rhubarb when you go to your local farmer's market and buy your rhubarb this spring.
Or add some strawberries. That's
what add some strawberries. But my pie always runs over when I add strawberries. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. But yeah, boy, I think I ordered some strawberries from an organic farmer in Minnesota. And last year they had, I don't remember if the deer got in their fence or what, but I'm really praying I get those strawberries this year because strawberry rhubarb jam. Delightful.
Mm-hmm. So you said that you were doing some things at the farm to help the rhubarb grow a little bit more. What are you doing?
Well, apparently rhubarb, even though it appears to be very vigorous, does not like pressure from weeds. And so the way I plant things is I just dig a hole in the lawn and put them there. My husband gets so mad about that. You know what he did to my rhubarb? I hate this. He always tries to contain my growing. And so I actually, in the fall last year, I dug those roots up. I dug all the way around them and lifted them partway out of the ground and pulled out all of the grass, every kind of weed that I could find, and then put them back and gave them some cow manure, well-rotted manure. They really like cow manure, which would explain why they grew so well on the farm, I suppose. But then I turn my back for 1 second, and there's a concrete block border around my rhubarb plants. And I'm like, honey, the whole idea is they're supposed to spread spread and spread. And so why do you do this to me all the time? And then, of course, this spring when we mulched them really well over the winter also. And then this spring, my friend came out early in March when we were recovering the high tunnel. She's like, get that grass off of there. Get that straw off of there. They want some air. So we did that and then discovered that one of those concrete blocks was right on top of one of those plants. And I'm like, look, you're killing my one plant. So he was kind enough to move the border yesterday. I think he actually did that. And so I'm like, yay, thank you for not killing off my beautiful rhubarb plants.
I didn't know you could kill off a rhubarb plant.
I didn't think you could either, but we are managing.
I mean, that's why they were everywhere. I don't remember anybody ever tending the rhubarb.
So much like my husband and me, I will go plant something, and then next time I turn around, there is a pile of pallets or rocks, or the one year he got me a mound of dirt for my birthday and didn't spread it out anywhere on the hollyhocks, and he went after the ground cherries last year. It's like he just has an innate sense of where I'm trying to grow something, then he just puts a pile of construction goods there.
You might be the only person I know who's ever gotten dirt for her birthday.
I got a 400-pound rock one year. For my birthday. Does that count?
I think so.
Getting a pile of dirt?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So when I was, foraging for rhubarb, I would look for the red one, the red stalk,
that is definitely sweeter. Like, I will drive 100 miles down to my friend's house to harvest her Canadian red rhubarb, because that stuff is so gorgeous in two ways. It's actually sweeter than the green stuff. But, you know, if you cook your green rhubarb into jam without putting anything in that color it, like some people will use red Jello or something, it is a very unappealing color.
It is, yeah.
Very unappealing. But that red stuff, oh my gosh, that stuff is so gorgeous. And I don't know, she must have really good soil down there in Grant County, because Seema's rhubarb is like as big as my wrist, just fabulous.
Wow.
Red rhubarb. So that's where I go when I want lots of red. And we've started some red, but you know, the green is kind of like, do you want a piece of grandma's rhubarb plant? Heck yeah. I mean, just because it was my grandmother's from the farm, I will plant it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we will still eat it.
You know, I imagine when you were talking about the amount of rhubarb you'd need for a pie, 4 cups, I think you said, something like that.
Yes.
How much sugar?
I always put in about 1 cup of sugar, but I really like ice cream on top of my rhubarb pie, so you don't have to sweeten it so much. And I think you would be a candidate for maybe 3/4 or less cup of sugar in your rhubarb pie.
Because I don't want that tang.
You like that tanginess. And then my mother had a rhubarb. You know, there's two kinds of rhubarb pie. There's the kind that you make with like apple pie, where you take the 4 cups of rhubarb, you mix your sugar, 3/4 cup of sugar, and cornstarch in there, or flour, whatever you use to keep it thick. And then, of course, always put a little pat of butter in there. The butter is just like adding oil to the pot of pasta that you're boiling. It kind of forms that cohesiveness over the top of it, so it runs over less. My goal in life is to make pies that don't run over in my ovens. But, I mean, even the big guys, theirs run over too once in a while. So, and then flavor that with cinnamon. But my mother had a recipe that she actually browned breadcrumbs and mixed 4 or 5 eggs together, and then put the rhubarb and the sugar and the eggs and the breadcrumbs together. And it was kind of like more of a custardy pie, because you can make a rhubarb custard pie also. This one hung together better than any of the custard pies that I've tried.
You know, I know this month we've talked about dandelions and carrots, and the greens are pretty good for you, or they're fun to eat too. But not rhubarb.
Right. Rhubarb leaves are poisonous, although I'm sure I've ingested a few in my lifetime. Just so you know, you might have to eat a lot. But yeah, and especially pets. You don't want your dogs or cats chewing on rhubarb leaves either, because they are poisonous. And of course, then there was the big thing about the big heavy frost, and if the frost you know, made your rhubarb poisonous, which is a fallacy. Like, if your rhubarb stalks are not soggy or wilted, you know, the actual rhubarb that you eat, if that's not soggy or wilted, you're not going to die from using that even after a frost. Okay, don't hold me to that. I mean, you know, just in case. But, yeah, pretty much no. Anything that's not spoiled from the frost should still be edible.
How about savory rhubarb? I think you have a recipe for salsa, right?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. You know, you mentioned something about not being a fan of rhubarb pie. I just found, like, a bunch of recipes for awesome things that you can make out of rhubarb that are savory, like salsa,
Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah.
You're using your rhubarb. You got your jalapeno, some pickled onions in there, which I make a lot of pickled onions. We always seem to have pickled onions. Onions in our refrigerator. It sounds wonderful. And then think of this, a crusty fish taco with a rhubarb salsa on it.
Sounds good.
Oh, my goodness. And, yes, the fish are biting really well in the Missouri, I heard. They're catching super big walleyes this year.
They can't wait to be with salsa.
Right. And then if you're not a fish taco person, but you want to use your rhubarb for something else, I'm going to try this definitely rhubarb ketchup. You know, I'm not a fan of regular tomato ketchup unless it's homemade, but rhubarb ketchup sounds like really delightful. And it's almost made in exactly the same way as you would make a tomato ketchup, but it's largely rhubarb with a little bit of tomato in there, but onions, sugar, vinegar, and spices. Yes, and rhubarb ketchup on top of pork chops or something, you know, would be like, I think, really, really good.
Fascinating.
Oh, bon appetit.
My stomach is growling.
We check in with Sue Belcom every week for Main Street Eats. Always a pleasure, Sue.
It's my pleasure, you guys. Thank you for the opportunity.
Decoded Date Book is next.